success.
Everybody knows the first investing decision you should make is to max out any employer contributions to your 401k because it's free money, right? But what if that money isn't so free? Yeah, they're seldom talked about, but 401k matching contributions do come with strings attached that you should know about. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West goes over those for us. Then we'll take your questions and calls on anything financial at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We have open lines. I'm Steve Moore. 401k matching, a contrarian view. That's next on MoneyWise Live. Rob, I'm shocked. Shocked, I say. We always tell listeners to max out their employer's 401k contributions first, and now we find out that's not the case?
Not exactly. I still think that's the best policy for most people, most of the time. There's the qualifier. But today we're looking at a different point of view, and this comes from a recent Forbes article that we'll link to in today's show notes. Just go to moneywiselive.org and click on the show. The idea is that some investors might be better off delaying 401k contributions in favor of making the maximum contribution to a Roth IRA.
Okay, and we've talked a bit about the Roth in the past as well. But specifically, why would this be the case?
Well, several reasons, actually. The first is something called vesting. You may not realize it, but when you start making contributions to a company 401k, the company often doesn't begin matching those contributions right away. In fact, the first year, your employer may make zero contributions. This is to protect the company from losing money in case you suddenly find a better job somewhere else. Now, the company is required to vest at least 20% of employer contributions after 2 years. A lot of companies use a 3-year vesting schedule. They'll put in a third of the promised match after 1 year, 2/3 after 2, and then the full matching after 3 years. But some companies have a 5 or even a 7-year vesting schedule. Others have something called a cliff schedule, where essentially you'll get all of the money after 2 or 3 years. In that case, you wouldn't get anything if you switch jobs too soon.
Okay, I think I'm confused on the cliff thing. What's that all about again?
Well, essentially, just after 2 or 3 years, you get all of the money, and so it's you don't get much at all, and then you hit that cliff. And
oh, okay, all right. Yep. All right, it sounded a little scary. It's like the boss wants to talk to you. Why don't you meet him over here next to the cliff, you know, or something like that. But no, it's sorry, that's I'm digging up past job history in my mind. All right. But you'd still be able to roll the money you contributed to your new employer's 401k or an IRA, right?
That's true. Yeah, you wouldn't have to leave the money behind. Now, there's another reason, though, that a 401k may not be the best option for some people, and it's called a QDIA. Here we go with the terminology, a qualified default investment alternative.
All right, and what is that?
That's what happens if you have to sign up to have the money deposited in your 401k, but you don't designate it to go into a specific fund or funds. So in that case, the money goes into the QDIA. Essentially, it means the 401k plan is making the decision for you, and that may not always be in your best interest. Now, a lot of 401k plans use a basic target date fund for the QDIA. We've talked about this before. These are the funds where they give you a basket full of investments that change over time to lower your risk as you near retirement. In general, we think target date funds are fine, especially if you don't want to take a hands-on approach to your investing. They're sort of a set-it-and-forget-it approach, but there are some drawbacks. They don't necessarily perform as well as more actively managed funds, and they may have higher costs within a 401k than if you choose a target date fund with an outside brokerage firm.
Okay. But you can easily avoid the old QDIA by designating that your contributions go to a fund of your choice. So why would that be a concern?
Well, the problem is, according to a recent Vanguard study, half of the people with a 401k have all of their money in a single target date fund, and that's a growing trend, and that indicates that an awful lot of 401k investors really don't want to take an active part in their investments.
All right, but if that's the reality, isn't a target date fund, even one in a 401k, a good option for most people who don't want to be hands-on?
I certainly think so. And that's also why I think contributing enough to your 401k to get the employer match is still the best option for most people, especially those who'd rather not be watching their portfolios all the time. Yes, there are definite advantages to a Roth IRA over a 401k, like the tax-free growth and withdrawal and retirement, of course, many more investment options, and probably lower maintenance fees. But we can talk about that after the break for a moment more.
Okay, and we will do that, and we'll take your calls. Open lines at 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you ever been struggling to do something? I don't know, work through a problem or finishing an assignment or a job at work, getting the kids out of the door for school in the morning. Just some everyday, routine, run-of-the-mill thing. But on that day, it just seems impossible. It's all too much. If only there was someone there to give us a hand, a bit of advice, some insight, maybe just a smile or some encouragement. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. We all need someone to be our helper sometimes. Some people get all upset when they read in the book of Genesis that God made Eve to be Adam's helper. It doesn't seem right somehow, not in this day and age. But that same Hebrew word for helper used about Eve is used right through the Old Testament, and its most frequent use is of God being our helper. Nah, surely not. He's God. He wouldn't be interested in this little problem here or that assignment there or me getting the kids out to school. He's God. Nah. Have you asked him lately?
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
It's a pleasure and a joy to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we'd love to chat with you again. Typically, it's something financial that we talk about, so give us a call if that's what you're thinking about today, 800-525-7000. Now, we've been talking a little bit about 401k matchings or 401k matching, and are there different approaches? And Rob, you were pointing out that there's the 401k, but then there's the Roth, and that might be better for some people. Any last thoughts on this before we go to the phones?
Yeah, the big idea here coming from this Forbes article that came out recently was if you have a vesting schedule, you're not going to get the match right up front. You may be better off with the Roth, at least until you're going to get the match. And then make sure you really think through and have a hands-on approach to your investment strategy, even if that's the use of a target date fund. But don't just leave it up to the fund management company to decide that. Make sure that the funds you're selected fit with your investment strategy and style. The Roth does have some advantages. We talk about this often. We've got the tax-free growth, the withdrawal in retirement tax-free, many more investment options, certainly more control over how the fee schedule works. But to take advantage of them, you've got to give up that employer matching in order to get those benefits. And so I think if you get the matching, the majority of people would be better off starting there because that's free money. You're not going to get that guaranteed return anywhere else. But once you get to the cap if you will, of the match, then I think switching over to the Roth and using both strategies simultaneously is a good approach for most people.
Okay. Now, I hate to muddy the waters further, but let's stick our toe in a little bit if we can. Now, there's a Roth IRA, which we talk about a lot, but then there's also a Roth 401k.
That's right.
Are we getting too confusing when I mention that?
No. You know, the same idea applies to the Roth 401k as the Roth IRA. Same tax treatment, just within a company-sponsored plan, which means you can get that matching. So what I would say is, typically those who are going to want to opt for the Roth 401k are going to be those folks who are younger, they have time on their side, they're going to get the full benefit of the tax-free growth, they have the ability to put in a bit more, because remember, you're putting in after-tax dollars, so you actually have more working for you than if you were to make a contribution and then get the deduction on it. So I like the Roth a lot. There's also a case to be made about doing both, because then you've got the tax-deferred and the tax-free money working for you, and you can choose which is best to draw from in retirement based on which one has the most tax advantages. So I like the Roth 401k a lot, and I think for especially young people, it's a great option.
All right, great. Again, our phone number, if you'd like to speak with Rob today about anything, 800-525-7000. Let's begin by going out to Dallas, Texas. Hi, Peter. Thanks for holding, and how can we help you?
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Wonderful.
Great.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, yeah, Mr. Rob, I just want to ask you a question. You know, it's kind of not really hypothetical. I'm really going through it. I'm a Christian, and I love the Lord. But, you know, I attend a small church, and I pay my tithes. But, you know, I was going through some issues that I needed help. But it wasn't available for me because it was so small. And I was just wondering, I will have to go to a bigger church to get help. So do you think that's accurately right? Or?
Yeah. Well, Peter, I hear what you're saying. You know the local church is clearly a part of God's plan. I love what Pastor J.D. Greer says. He says it's God's plan A, and it really is. I mean, it's where we invest our lives, the body of Christ, regardless of the size of the congregation. It doesn't matter how big the physical dwelling is for the church. It's about the body of Christ coming together, and that could be in a house church or that could be in a mega church and everything in between. And clearly, churches have varying degrees to which they have resources to help those in need. A small church may not have, obviously, the same resources that a larger church does. Let me ask, though, does your church have a clearly identified benevolence fund that they use to help those in need?
Not to my knowledge. You know, if they did, I wouldn't know. No.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be a good question to ask. But, you know, for me, what's far more important is that it's a Bible-believing church where the gospel is preached. Doctrine is far more important than the church's financial situation, and that it's a community of believers coming together. And clearly, based on the scriptural model in the New Testament, that would include believers helping each other. And, you know, there's a role to be played there. But I would really not use necessarily the degree to which they can provide financial assistance as the litmus test for whether that's the place that God has planted you. I would really pray through it. And if you feel like that's where God has you, then I would fully invest your life in not only being a part actively of worship, but in serving in that local church, engaging with the body and the fellowship of believers. And to the extent you have a need along the way, making that need known to the church, because perhaps either through a benevolence fund that's been clearly identified or through other means, even in a small church, I would imagine that there can be some assistance along the way, whether that's designated already in advance or whether that's somebody within the body being made aware of that need and then stepping up outside of that. But that, for me, would be far more important than the church's ability necessarily to meet those needs in terms of how you select where God is planting you. So I would visit with your pastor and perhaps have this conversation, make your needs known, but then also make sure you're fully invested in terms of serving there in that local fellowship.
Great answer, Rob. And Peter, I hope that helps you, and we'll pray that God gives you direction as you try to determine His will for your life in this regard. Thank you very much. Oberlin, Ohio. Hi, Lori. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
hey,
sure.
I got an unusual situation here. Based on what you guys started with the program, those exceptions about the 401k.
Yeah.
See, I'm 60 and I just started a brand new job in my second career. And after 90 days, the employer will match 3% of a 401k. Based on what you said earlier, would I be better off not going with them? And just doing a Roth IRA or a regular CD, because I really don't know if I have to wait those 2 or 3 years you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I would check that and contact the HR department or whoever administers the plan for the company to find out what those parameters are. If, in fact, though, after that 90-day probationary period, you can go ahead and start earning that match, that's great. Let's go ahead and fully take advantage of whatever portion is available to you for the remainder of 2020. But what you may find, Lori, is that if you have the ability to contribute retirement funds beyond what you'll be able to put in for 2020 and have it matched fully up to the 3% after that 90-day probationary period, if you have the ability to do more and that fits with your plan, meaning you don't have other more pressing priorities like giving goals or building your emergency fund, paying off credit card debt. But if you do have all those met and you want to do more, that's where it could be that the Roth will give you the flexibility to go ahead and contribute what you plan to contribute for this year, given that this is a newer job and you're only going to have a portion of the year available to you for those salary deferrals. So I would get more information, find out when they're going to start providing the match, what that allows you to do for 2020 in the 401k, and then just evaluate that against what you had planned on doing in total. And that's where the Roth may come into play.
Okay, Lori, does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. And with that, I think maybe we'll pause just a little bit here. We'll reconfigure some buttons and knobs and listen to some music and then come back and take your phone calls on anything financial. Now, Michael and Elizabeth, we're coming your way, so please don't leave us. This is MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. If you'd like to visit us online, we'd love to have you do that. Check out our website, moneywiselive.org. We'll be right back after this.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Over and over, the Apostle Paul has reminded us that the fact that we have been freed and the fact that we are no longer under the law does not mean that we just have license to sin. In fact, what he's saying to us is that if we could get through our heads that we are out from under that condemnation, if we really got it, we would not think it frees us to sin. We would think that it frees us not to. Because it is that mindset of self-condemnation and law condemnation, I'm talking about of the law, the code itself, that constant echoing over our heads that says, you are not enough. You will never be enough. You will never be good enough. You can never keep it together. You will always fail. You will always be everything you have always been. That echoing condemnation continues to take us back to that pit because we will act out who we really believe ourselves to be in Christ. It will happen every single time. These verses are life messages for me. They've been so important in my own personal journey with God. And we are going to live out, you and I live out the truth of what we believe. We don't necessarily believe the truth. But whatever we're living out is what we, in our bone marrow, believe to be true.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture.
Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
John 13:35 tells us, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And if we can help you today, we'd love to hear from you. In fact, we've got a full complement of lines right now. Terry and Angie, we're coming in your direction, but let's say hi to Michael first. Mike, you're in Sarasota. Good to have you. What's on your mind?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? Great show. Love you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
First of all, I do second you on that first call. That was very good advice, very godly advice on that.
Thank you.
My question is, I work for a government that offers FRS, the Florida pension, and when I started, I've been here about 3 years. I started the first year, I didn't pick one of the retirement plans, so I was automatically put into the 401k, the pension plan. So when I made this, when I found this out, got to, through the mail, I called and said, "Listen, I didn't pick this." They said, "We automatically put you in it." In order to go into the pension plan, there was a lump sum of like $3,500.
Right.
So I'm just trying to think, is it worth spending the money? Because I want that pension plan. That was the whole why I got this job here, was one of the benefits. So versus the 401k and the pension, what is your take on that, just between the two of them?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like the pension plan. I think, you know, obviously one is going to give you a fixed payout for life when you retire versus one that you have a little bit more control over in terms of making the investment selections. And so I think really you just need to think through which option, you know, is going to give you the most peace of mind in retirement. Usually you have one opportunity, though, to change plans in the Florida retirement system. And that's my understanding, is that you can actually convert over to the pension plan from the investment plan one time. Have you talked to them about that opportunity to switch?
No, I sure haven't. That's why I called you guys.
Yeah, okay.
That's good advice. I didn't know I got it one time.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's where you need to start, is first of all, decide which one you like. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, investing in a retirement plan with a stock and bond portfolio versus using an annuity. You know, some people like to kind of transfer the risk of the investment performance in the case of an annuity to an insurance company and have a guaranteed payout that they convert into an income stream for life at retirement. And they just like the idea of knowing that they don't have to watch the ebbs and flows of the market. I tend to prefer the more traditional approach of investing, which is to build a well-diversified, high-quality stock and bond portfolio that fits my goals and objectives, be systematic in my contributions, and let that do what it does over time, and then benefit from that lump sum in retirement that I can then have a little bit more control over in terms of management and how I might want to use that. And if I need a larger portion of it than just a monthly payout because of a major medical expense or something that comes up in that season of life, you obviously have access to the principal as opposed to just getting the monthly check. So I kind of prefer the investment plan, but there's nothing wrong with the pension side. Florida retirement system is a very effective retirement system. And, you know, I think, as you said, that's one of the reasons you're there. So I think you just need to really compare both options, look at what's available to you and which one is going to give you the greatest peace of mind in retirement. But depending on where you land, I would explore with them this opportunity. It's a one-time opportunity to change plans and actually move from one to the other, because that should be available to you.
Michael, We hope that helps. Thank you very much for your phone call today. St. Louis, Elizabeth, we have just a couple of minutes. What is it? How can we help?
Hi, yeah. So I am 21 years old, and I'm in $40,000 of debt, unfortunately. 20 of that is student loans, and then 15 of it is a new car that I got that I'm trying to get rid of. So I don't have a degree, so I'm not making very good money. You know, not a lot of experience, and I have all this debt. And so two problems is one, I need to get rid of the car. I just don't know how with negative equity. And then two, I need an income increase somehow, but I don't want to have to go into more debt going back to school. But I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah. Tell me, Elizabeth, what it would take for you to go back to school. Like, let's say you were to push the pause button and work right now and just save like crazy and keep your income, I mean, keep your expenses at a minimum. How many more years do you have, and what does that translate into in terms of what that's going to cost you?
Yeah, so I have about two more years to finish my bachelor's. It would cost, I mean, around here, schools are about $300 per credit, so that's just $900 per class. So I could probably take an like two classes per semester, just affordability-wise, what I'm making, and I'm, you know, making very minimum now. So it'd probably take about maybe 3-4 years just to finish a degree.
Okay. Yeah. And then are you pursuing a marketable degree, and do you have a good sense of what you want to do and what that translates into in terms of an expected base salary coming out of college with a degree?
Yeah, I'm comparing some things. I went in for nursing, which I know is a great degree. I didn't love it, so I was kind of not sure if I wanted to keep with that. I've been comparing a few different things because the end goal is ultimately mission. So I'm kind of looking to see what's going to benefit me the most. So it's going to be something in either like education or medical or even like agriculture, something like that. So I'm playing along those lines.
Okay, so a couple of thoughts, and we're going to have to head to a break here. Number one, I would push the pause button on more schooling and just keep your expenses at a minimum. I want to send you our Career Direct assessment at no cost and allow you to explore perhaps how God has wired you as you think and pray through where he's leading. Secondly, with the car, I like the idea of you getting rid of it with negative equity. You want to sell it to a private party if you can cover the balance. Otherwise, you probably want to stay with it and try to pay it down just as quickly as you can until you get to a break-even standpoint. Stay on the line, though. We'll talk a bit more off-air.
Thanks, Elizabeth. More Money Wise with Rob West after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week for Father's Day is found in Genesis 18:19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. That's Genesis 18:19, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
I was known for just hustling, getting over, getting by.
That was Ronald Clay's life in prison. One day, in hopelessness, he cried out for God's grace.
God delivered me from hell. When I got saved, I had a heart to want to do and work for the kingdom.
Moody Radio was there for Ronald in prison. Today, he attends Moody Theological Seminary, preparing for ministry. Read his story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org. mymoodyradio.org.
Do you know if you have enough money? enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
President Trump has signed an executive order on policing. The order aimed at encouraging best practices and tracking officers with excessive use of force complaints. In the Rose Garden, the president stressed the need for higher standards. The order comes as Senate Republicans prepare to unveil their own package of policing proposals after Democrats did the same. Pacific Gas and Electric has confessed to killing 84 people in a devastating wildfire that wiped out the Northern California town of Paradise in November of 2018. PG&E CEO Bill Johnson entered guilty pleas on behalf of the company. The admission was part of a plea deal. The judge in San Ramon, California, will formally sentence PG&E later this week. Stocks rose on Wall Street. The Dow gained 526 points today. The NASDAQ was up 169. The S&P 500 ahead, 58. This is SRN News.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live, a place where we do our best to help you find God's plan for your financial life. And that's because the Bible is replete with hundreds of verses that deal with the way we make our money, spend our money, invest our money, find God's financial plan for our specific lives. And again, if we can help you with that, we'd love to try. 800-525-7000. Let's continue on by going to Anderson, Indiana. Hello, Frank. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a question. I own my house outright, thinking about purchasing a new home, and I have the money to purchase a new home in, you know, in financing for investments. Wondering, with the way the stock market's doing, is it best to refinance, take out another mortgage, or just pull the money out of money I have already saved up?
Yeah. When you say refinance, but you don't have an existing mortgage, right?
No. I mean, just, you know, take a mortgage out on a new home and then sell the home.
Got it. And is that the plan, Frank? Is this a house that's going to replace your current house, or is it going to be truly a second home and you're going to keep both of them?
No, this is going to be, I'm going to sell the house I'm in, and this is going to be my primary residence.
I see. And so really what you're looking for here is just a temporary stopgap, because you don't want to have to sell this one first and then find a temporary place to live if you couldn't coordinate the closing dates on both. So as a matter of convenience, you want to go ahead and purchase the other the house and then take your time in selling your current residence. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And what kind of account are we talking about? You mentioned investment account. Are these qualified accounts like retirement accounts, or are they taxable accounts?
They're taxable. They're just investments.
And are they stocks and bonds?
Yeah, stocks, bonds, mutual fund, just a mix.
Okay. And do you would the cost of the home be considerably less than the total balance of the stock and bond portfolio?
Yes, quite a bit.
Okay. So you could manage that from a tax standpoint, because I just don't want you to end up with a huge tax burden by you know, having to go and liquidate a bunch of investments that were longer term holdings or have considerable appreciation in a taxable account if that doesn't make sense. But you feel like you could manage that with your advisor?
That was a good question. I may need to get a hold of my advisor and find out just, you know, which holdings we could liquidate, so that I could, you know, just go ahead and purchase this new home outright and then sell the current home and then that money, you know, to either back into the investments or paying off the mortgage if I take out a mortgage.
Yeah, and I think that's really the question here, because, you know, there's a couple of pieces at work. Number one, I'll start with the non-financial side, which is kind of what I call the peace of mind test, that just says if, you know, you and if you're married, you and your wife, are you going to sleep better at night knowing you don't have any debt? You have no encumbrances. You have ultimate flexibility. You owe nothing to anyone. And that just feels good. Or perhaps you have a conviction around that, because I think it's certainly permissible what you're talking about here. You're not violating a biblical, admonition. There are clear warnings in Scripture about the use of debt, but you've obviously managed your financial affairs quite wisely. And so I think given that, you've got the flexibility to go both directions. But if you either have a conviction or it give you greater peace of mind to know you're debt-free, then I wouldn't even consider the financial benefits of borrowing and preserving that the investments. I'd just go for it and feel really good about that. If, though, you say, no, I feel like given where we're at financially, the assets that we have, we don't necessarily have a particular conviction about being debt-free right now, then I'd say, you know, you could go ahead and take out that mortgage. Rates are at historic lows. We think they'll be here for quite a while. You could take out a small mortgage, or you could, you know, finance a bit more and keep that money working for you. And on paper, you'd probably come out better if you have a long time horizon and you understand the risks inherent in that. So I don't think there's a right or wrong decision here, but I would have that open and honest conversation about whether you do have a conviction or it would give you greater peace of mind. And then I would also take a look at the investment strategy and the tax implications of liquidating a portion of that portfolio and allow that to factor into your decision, because taking out a mortgage temporarily and then paying it off, or taking it out and keeping it, if you're comfortable with that at these low rates, certainly can make some sense for somebody in your financial position. Do you follow that?
Yep, that was exactly kind of where we were at, and we just wanted your advice.
Great. Well, we appreciate you calling. Thanks for listening there in Anderson, sir.
Thanks very much, Frank. God bless you. Chicago, Angie, thanks for your patience and for holding. What's on your mind?
So my company matches both the Roth and all 401k, 5%. But if I contribute in Roth, it will be there. Pre-tax money and my after-tax money. I'm single, no children, so of course my taxes are high. What would be a better option for me, 401k or Roth?
So is it a Roth 401k or a traditional Roth, or is it a Roth IRA you're talking about?
They only told me it's a Roth. I don't know much in detail, but all I know is if I were to choose Roth, it would be their pre-tax money.
Yes.
And my post-tax money.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so it's probably the decision they're asking you about is whether you want a traditional 401k or a Roth 401k. Both are offered inside the plan that's made available from your employer, and so you just have to choose, and both have the matching, so that's great. Angie, do you mind me asking your age?
35.
35. Okay. You know, I really like the Roth for somebody in your position. You don't get the tax deduction, but you're young and you're going to have a lot of years. I mean, we're talking potentially, you know, 3 decades before you're going to need this money, maybe more. And that's a long time for this money to grow. So if you can go ahead and pay the tax now, get that money working for you, and all the growth over the next, you know, 30 years, let's say, is going to be tax free and not putting a drag on the investments, you know, needing to be paid in retirement. Even in the traditional, it won't put a drag because it's inside a retirement plan. So I misspoke there. But you won't have to pay that in retirement. You'll pull 100% of that gain out completely tax-free, and that'd be a real benefit for you. So I would go one of two ways. I'd either go all with Roth, or I'd split it between the Roth and the traditional, half in one, half in the other, and that way you'd get a bit of a tax deduction, but you'd still have some of the tax-free money growing for you as well. I wouldn't go 100% in the non-Roth option.
Angie, we're glad that you called today, and it sounds like you're heading in the right direction. We wish you the very best with that. Thank you very much. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. If you haven't visited our website in a while, I'd urge you to do that. There are some great resources. Many of them are absolutely free, and there are some new resources, including, Rob, the new MoneyWise e-magazine. Tell us about that. It's a quarterly publication, right?
It is, Steve. Yeah, the current edition is around financial hope. Some great articles and resources there. We've got a new edition coming out later this month. It's going to be all about families, preparing for your wedding as an engaged couple. What financial questions do you need to ask? What about raising money-smart kids? What about communicating about money between husband and wife? It's all going to be covered there in the new e-magazine, along with a new interview we just recorded with Shanti Feldhahn on some new research related to money money and marriage and thriving in that relationship. So get signed up now, moneywiselive.org. And let me mention, Steve, just real quickly, here the middle of June, we're in the summer. We could really use your assistance in supporting MoneyWise Media. You can donate quickly and easily at moneywiselive.org. Just click the donate button. We are listener supported, and we would be grateful for your support.
Indeed, we would. Thank you, Rob. It's MoneyWise Live, Rob West, and we're really glad that you're out there today. We'll be right back after this.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. The freedom that our Constitution guarantees to openly share our faith is under attack. Many of those in power actually believe we should not be allowed to share our faith in public. Pastors' sermons have even come under scrutiny. Regardless of whether you voted for him or not, we currently have a president that's an outspoken champion for religious liberty and a Congress that supports him on this issue. But this can change over the next election cycle. All of this speaks to the urgency of the Great Commission. The battle for the soul of America is spiritual, not political. It can only be won by all of us who are known by his name, honoring God's call to share his love with everyone every day. He said they'll know you're his disciple by your love. And it's time to report for duty. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Singer-songwriter Matthew West.
When I feel the Lord pressing the pause button, I want my instinct to be to press into him.
Whether it was the time Matthew had to be completely silent for months after a vocal cord surgery, or the recent pandemic that canceled all of his concerts.
I feel like the Lord's saying, press into me, come unto me, and let me transform you once again.
Pressing into the Lord just means acknowledging your need for God and spending time in prayer and the Bible. Those are spiritual disciplines that Billy Graham said can strengthen your relationship with God.
He will use every situation of life to remind us of his love for us and our need of him. And he desires a relationship with him that comes only through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again.
Could you use a reminder of God's love for you? Go to findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Let me do something here that I normally do at the end of the program. But, well, I just want to thank Judy Crone. She's our producer. Courtney Young for handling your phone calls today. Amy Rios is doing all of our high-tech engineering. Yes, we use digital things around here, or so I'm told. Jim Henry, of course, doing all research and continuity. Altogether, they make a wonderful technical team doing all the things that neither Rob or I know how to do.
That's for
but
sure.
I do know how to give the phone number, 800-525-7000. St. Louis, Missouri. Hello, Brad. Do you have a question?
Yes. I recently just tried to get pre-approved for a house, and I was talking to them, and they couldn't download, or they couldn't find my credit score. So it ends up that, I mean, it was a little over 3 years ago. I gave my life to Christ, and one of the things was to get out of debt. So that was my goal. Like I paid off my truck and my house, or not my house, my truck and my student loans. And
I did that last year. So now I've been out of debt, and I've been saving up for a house. And I've got $30,000 that I've saved up. That was kind of my game plan, was to get 20% of a 20% down on a $150,000 house. But when I tried to get pre-approved, they said I don't have a credit score because I haven't been paying on anything. So I wasn't sure. I was going to see if you had any advice or, you know, I had $30,000, well, and that is my plan, you know, to put it on the house. But that's also, if you have any advice.
I would start, Brad, by pulling your own report and your score. I'd be surprised if you don't have a score. I think given the history that you've described, even though you may have a lack of outstanding revolving or installment accounts right now that are active, you have enough history that you're talking about that there should be a report out there. You should have a score. A lack of credit can hurt you. So I realize that you had this conviction. I'm delighted to hear that you are now debt-free. That's a great place to be. And I would even say, even to the detriment of your credit score, it's a really good place to be. There are some ways to rebuild it, but I'd just start by getting a baseline as to where you're at. And that's going to involve you doing two things. Number one is I'd go to annualcreditreport.com, annualcreditreport.com, and I'd pull for free a report from each of the three bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And I would review each of those reports. They're three different ones, although they should contain much of the same, if not all the same information. And you're going to want to be making sure that it's all accurate. There's not any inaccurate information on there that's either outdated or it's not yours. It's reflecting an account that never belonged to you, anything like that, that you can dispute and have cleaned up. So I think that's step one. Step two is go ahead and pull your credit score as well, which is a separate process. You can do that free at creditkarma.com. That's probably going to be the easiest place, or nerdwallet.com. Either of those will allow you to pull your credit score. And I'd just be interested to find out where you're at. In terms of what you can do to rebuild your credit, which may be required for you to qualify for the type of loan you're looking for with the competitive interest rates you're seeking, would be to open a credit card, either a secured or an unsecured credit card. Have an automatic charge on there every month, something that's budgeted that you've planned to pay for on a monthly basis. I don't want you to spend money just for the sake of building credit, but let's get a budgeted recurring charge to hit that account every month, and then you go in and pay it off every month, and that's going to be reported to your credit file with you having an active account, with you being an on-time payer. And the balance is going to be very low. Obviously, it's going to be zero by the time the period ends because you're going to pay it off. But even the charges that you make during the month are going to be so low that they'll actually work in your favor, because any balance below 30% of your credit limit is going to be positive. And if, in fact, you do need to rebuild that score by being an on-time payer every month using that credit card, that's going to help you rebuild that. And it could be that you have to delay this purchase 6 months until you get that established. But let's start with those three steps. And if you have questions once you pull that file and you don't understand something you're seeing, then just give us a call back.
And, Brad, again, to get your score and not have to pay for it, it's Credit Karma with a K, creditkarma.com or nerdwallet.com. I will remind you and anyone else listening that the reason they're able to give you this information for free is because they also at the same time want to show you other things that you can purchase. So be very careful about where you click. Like most websites these days, there are a myriad buttons, and you probably don't want to click on them unless you really know what you're reading and you're being thoughtful about it. But we wish you the best, and I love how much you've saved for your down payment so far. Sounds like you're really heading in the right direction. Thanks. West Palm Beach, Florida. Hi, Norma. What's your question today?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a prior retirement from a prior employer. I'm paying no fees. They're paying everything. So it's just there, you know, on the allocation that I've done. But I'm now in a new job. So I wanted to know, I mean, is it a wise decision to have both? What's the advantage? I mean, one is obviously TIA. The other one is with Vanguard. All these companies, are they the same? Or should I just have them all in one place?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Norma, is it a 401k or a 403b that you had with your previous employer?
403B.
Okay. So there are going to be fees inside of it. In fact, there are always fees. There's administrative fees, and then there's fees inside the mutual funds that you have selected, whether it's TIAA or Vanguard. Those are both great fund companies. They're versus their peers, they're low cost and very high quality, but there are fees there. And often what we find is that when you are no longer an employee and it's staying with a previous employer's plan, those fees tend to go up a bit. So you may be paying even just a little bit more. You know, the real benefit to moving that either into your current 401k or 403b with your new employer or an IRA, but particularly if you move it into your current plan, is just the simplicity, because then you don't have to keep up with two accounts. You don't have to keep up with two investment allocations. You don't have to keep up with, you know, just all the paperwork associated with that and overseeing it. So from a simplicity standpoint, I kind of like the idea of you rolling it in to the new plan and then just picking your investments, again, with a great fund company there like Vanguard, and you've got everything in one place, and it just makes life a little simpler. And anytime we can simplify our financial affairs, I think that's a good thing. So I would probably do that. If you were somebody who wanted a bit more control over your investment strategy, being able to pick the particular investments you want, not limited to what's inside the plan, then I'd say you could go to an IRA with that money. But if you're comfortable with what you're doing inside your new plan, then I'd just roll it in there and keep things fairly simple.
Okay, Norma?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Calling. And let's try to squeeze in Barb if we can. She's calling from Indianapolis. And what's your situation, Barb?
Hi. Hi. My question is, I'm 73, I'm a widow, and I have my husband's pension and Social Security. And I really don't draw money out of my retirement unless I have an emergency with the house or something like that. But what I wanted to know was, I tithe at my church, and it seems like to me it would make sense to have them fill out the form so that the money goes directly to them, because I don't have a Roth. I just have a standard retirement 401 that and I'm always going to have to pay taxes on it. Mm-hmm. And my question was, do you think it's a good idea to mm-hmm. have the form filled out and have it to go directly?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, Barb. What you're referring to there is the QCD. It's a qualified charitable distribution. A couple of things on that. Number one is the RMDs, the required minimum distribution that normally you have to take on a retirement account over the age of 70 and a half, now over the age of 72, based on some recent changes, does not apply to the year 2020 because of the CARES Act and what's happening with the pandemic. So you actually don't have to take anything out this year just because of that. So you could just continue to do your giving the way you have been, and you would not have to satisfy that required minimum. So you could just let that money grow, and therefore you wouldn't create a taxable event by pulling it out. But in future years, I do like this idea of you not taking the distribution, and in fact, just sending it directly to a not-for-profit organization like your local church. However, that is going to require that you roll that that 401k over to an IRA, because the qualified charitable distribution can't come out of a 401k. It has to come out of an IRA. That's not a taxable event, but you would have to open an IRA, perhaps with the same company you were already with, you know, a Vanguard or Fidelity or something like that, Charles Schwab. You'd transfer the money over, again, not taxable, and then you know, you could make sure the investments match the strategy that you're comfortable with, the mix of stocks and bonds, but then you could also set up that automatic qualified charitable distribution to your church, satisfy your annual required minimum distribution, and it would not be a taxable event, and therefore your church would get a larger sum, because they're not then having to get from you the amount after tax. Do you follow that, though? There's a lot of moving pieces there.
Yeah, that was exactly the question. Now, I don't take a distribution because with the pension and the Social Security, I really don't need it that. So I've been having it rolled back in. But
okay.
I keep thinking, well, that just means I'm going to make pay. I'll have more money and pay more taxes.
Yes, yes. So I think that'd be a great option for you. If you don't have an advisor, I think you could benefit from a godly financial planning and investment advisor. You can find one there in Indianapolis, some great ones at moneywiselive.org. Just click find a CKA. And God bless you, Barb. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Barb. Have a great reminder of your, or remainder of your day. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. So glad you've joined us today. If the program is something that makes you smile, tell a friend, and then join us again tomorrow. We'll be back with another edition of MoneyWise Live.